The setting was Memphis, Tennessee. I had been invited to speak at a church there. And after the Sunday morning service, a small group of people in the church invited me to go to lunch. As I recall, it was a rather nice restaurant, and we were sitting at the table enjoying the conversation when another group from another church walked in and passed by our table. Somebody sitting at the table I was at said, "Oh, that is Adrian Rogers." I'd never met him before, but I knew who he was. He was the pastor of a mega church in Memphis, Tennessee. He'd been elected the president of the Southern Baptist Convention and had a national television program. But what got my attention was what this fella at my table said. He went on to say, "I know some people who work with him, and they tell me there are no flies on Adrian Rogers." Now, I knew what he meant by that, and I'm going to talk about that. As a matter of fact, that's the topic of my message today. I want to talk about being a person that has no flies on them. Some of you are looking at me like, "What in the world does that mean?" I see you're not from the South. I think that's a Southern expression. So here's what I want to do. The first thing I want to do is define what that means. The second thing I want to do is talk about the benefits of being that kind of a person. And the third thing I'm going to do is talk about the value of being that kind of person. So the first issue is, what in the world does it mean to have no flies on you? Well, I suspected that some of you might not know the meaning of that, and I wanted to be accurate, so I Googled it. And here's what I found when I Googled it. One definition is, you're being active and energetic, like a cow moving around to deny flies a landing place. That was not the definition I had in mind. The second thing I discovered on Google was that some people say it means no mental weakness. You're alert, quick to understand a situation, and not easily deceived. That was not the definition that I had in mind. So finally, I found this. One definition of no flies on you means no character defects or other significant flaws. It's that third definition that I had in mind. Now, I'm just curious. How many of you ever heard the expression no flies? How many of you have never heard the expression no flies? Interesting. Half and half. All right. Well, why am I bringing up that subject? Well, as most of you know, I'm doing a topical study in the book of Proverbs. And one of the topics in Proverbs is no flies on you. Now, you're going to sit there and say, "I've read the book of Proverbs. I don't recall the verse that says no flies on you." Well, let me just tell you that the Hebrew word that I'm after actually means integrity. That's the word that appears in Proverbs. So I looked up the Hebrew word to see what it meant, and here's what it said. Integrity. Well, that's the word I was looking up. That happens often. Then it said things like completeness or innocence. Now, because the word integrity itself appears in the book of Proverbs, I'm going to go with that word. But I thought, well, what does that mean? What's the English word mean? All right, so it's, you know what it means in Hebrew, integrity, but what does it mean in English? So I looked up the English word. Here's what it means. Incorruptibility, soundness, completeness. I thought that was interesting because that's one of the definitions in the Hebrew lexicon. It means, it's a synonym for honesty. It's doing what is right when it is disadvantageous or costly, especially when it could be you could easily do the opposite. It is acting out of principle rather than expediency. It's keeping your word. It's keeping your promises, practicing what you preach, being consistent between words and actions. It's the opposite of lying, deception, and hypocrisy. All right, how are we doing? The definition is, let me pick a word. No flies. How about the word character? That gets at the basic idea. Matter of fact, that's one of the definitions in the English word integrity anyway. Now, that's the definition. We're going to talk about integrity, and I mean by that no flies, no character flaws, character. Got it? Now, what I really want to do is go through some proverbs that talk about integrity and give us the benefits of integrity. So turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 10:9. Proverbs 10:9. Which says, he who walks with integrity, no flies, walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Now, what that proverb is saying is someone who has integrity, someone who has character, the no flies thing, is secure. Now, the word secure actually means something like protected. You're going to be protected. Now, as we've gone through this, you've heard me say numerous times that the second half of the proverb influences the meaning of the first half. And that's the case here. So the second half says, he who perverts his ways will become known. So the security or the protection that's mentioned in the first part is not being exposed. So if you have a man, if you are a person of integrity, if you have no flies on you, so to speak, then there's nothing to hide. There's nothing to fear. You don't fear being detective because there's nothing that you have to worry about. To say that whole thing another way, there's a verse in the book of Numbers, it's in Numbers 32:23, that says, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, if you're a person of integrity, you don't worry about that because you're not worried about being found out. So there's no fear of detection. The second benefit is mentioned in 10:29. So look at Proverbs 10:29. It says, the way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. By the way, the word upright, which appears several times in the book of Proverbs, is the word integrity. It's the same Hebrew word that was translated integrity in 10:9. So when you see the upright, there's a good chance that that's the word integrity. At any rate, 10:29 is saying that the way of the Lord is strength. And that Greek, Hebrew word means protection, a place of safety, a refuge. So on the one hand, if you're a person of integrity, there's no fear of detection. And on the other hand, there is some protection involved. You will be protected. And the latter part of that verse says, but destruction comes to the workers of iniquity. You will, if you don't have integrity, not be protected from destruction. There's another proverb that says basically that same thing, and it is Proverbs 13:6. It says, righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. So again, the idea is that if you're a person of integrity, you are protected. you're protected against damage and destruction that is caused by sin. So, you have protection. Now, I guess we could say in a general way sin, which is what the Proverbs say, but let's get specific. If you are a person of integrity, it could protect you in all kinds of ways. I think it could protect your job. As a matter of fact, someone did a survey. They wanted to know what qualities of employees irritated bosses the most. And what they discovered was that at the top of the list was dishonesty. And then the person conducting the survey, one of the leaders, said this, and I quote, "If a company believes that an employee lacks integrity, all positive qualities ranging from skill and experience to productivity and intelligence become meaningless." On the job, if you don't have integrity, then whatever else you have is meaningless. By the way, would you like to know what else they found? The point I'm trying to make is it could protect you from losing your job. But let me tell you what else might happen. They came up with a whole list of things. Here's what irritates bosses the most. Irresponsibility, that is goofing off during personal business or in company time. 2, arrogance, ego problems, and excessive aggressiveness. Bosses dislike those who spend more time talking about their achievements than getting the job done. 3, absenteeism and lateness. 4, not following company policy. 5, failure to follow the rules makes management feel the employee can't be trusted. 6, whining and complaining. 7, laziness and a lack of commitment to dedication. If you don't care about the firm, they don't care about you. Now, the reason I read the rest of the list is that's not a bad list to describe integrity. If you have integrity, you wouldn't be irresponsible, arrogant, an absentee employee, etc., etc. So, the point is that if you have integrity, then you are protected against some things that befall sinners. Third, this is the benefits. It'll give you guidance on how to handle life. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." I find this one particularly interesting. If you are a person of integrity, you think straight. If you're not, you can't trust that person's thinking. And I see this all the time. I think this one's really, really critical, that you must have integrity to just have some basic common sense and guidance in life. You're not trying to cut corners or cheat your way through life. Raymond Floyd was a professional golfer, and he was getting ready to tap in a routine putt. But in the process, he nudged the ball. Now, if you know anything at all about golf, if that ball moves, it counts as a stroke against you. The reporter reporting this incident imagined what he could have done. And this is what he said. He could have, you know, flailed around his arms and like he was beating off a bee. He could have stepped back and looked over the crowd to see if anybody saw what had happened. But he didn't. As a matter of fact, Floyd took the stroke and got a bogey instead of a birdie. That is integrity. His integrity guided him to do what was right. There is a fourth thing it will get you. Look at Proverbs 2:7. Proverbs 2:7. That proverb says, "He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly." Now remember, the word upright, in some cases, in the book of Proverbs, means integrity. It's the word that's translated integrity in other verses, and this is the case in point. The word appears twice here. The first time it appears, it's talking about integrity. So he, notice it's capital letters, not just because it's the beginning of a sentence, because it's referring to God. God stores up wisdom to those who walk uprightly. I find this one particularly interesting. You get guidance and you get wisdom. You're not just protected from sin. Those are the negative aspects of this. The positive side is you have guidance. You know what to do just because you're walking uprightly, to use that expression. And you might need wisdom. Now, the Bible says in the book of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. And upright people ask for wisdom. I find myself doing that all the time, that I'm constantly saying, Lord, what do we do now? What? I need wisdom on this one. And especially when I'm counseling with somebody, I sit there and listen and think, wow, Lord, if you don't get in on the scene, this isn't going to end well. Give me some wisdom here. I know of a preacher named Stuart Briscoe, and at a conference at Moody years ago, he told a story of being hired by a bank. He was young at the time and was just learning the business. One day, his boss called him in and said, if Mr. So-and-so calls, tell him I'm out. And Briscoe replied, are you planning on going somewhere? And the boss said, no, I just don't want to talk to him. Telling him out. I'm out. And Stuart Briscoe said, oh, and then you want me to lie for you. And with that, the boss was outraged. He got very, very angry. And Stuart Briscoe said, I prayed. And I said, Lord, how do I answer this? And this is what he said, and I quote, you should be happy, because if I won't lie for you, isn't it safe to assume I won't lie to you? Now, that's the wisdom that comes from integrity. All right. So, if you have integrity, then you don't worry about being found out, because there's nothing to find out. You're protected, and you have guidance, and you have wisdom. If all of that is the case, then what happens is you have the possibility of being an example. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 7. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So, the righteous man walks in integrity. Got that. Only this is talking about the consequences of that, one of the consequences. And as a result, his children have the benefit of his life and example. One commentator calls this a father's best legacy, is to leave an example. I want to tell you, we need examples. I hear the word now being used more and more and more about people being a hero. You hear that a lot, you know, you're a hero. I even know of some preachers that talk about heroes in the Bible. I don't think the Bible talks about heroes as much as it talks about examples. I think we are to be examples to one another. The Bible specifically says elders are to be examples. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of the ways you learn. You don't just learn by listening, though please do. That does help. But that's not the way you learn entirely. You learn by example. As a matter of fact, I said recently in a situation, children aren't taught as much as they are caught. They pick up what's going on and they mimic it. Well, that's how we get that expression, the apple didn't fall very far from the tree, and like father, like son, and like mother, like daughter. And I know of some outstanding cases of that are very bad. But it's true. You learn by example. Even if you go into a profession, in a lot of cases you have to go through an internship to see what the people who know how to do it, and you watch them and do what they do. So it's not just book learning, as they used to say. It's being hands-on. You learn by example. So what this proverb is saying is, if a person is a person of integrity, man or woman, mother or father, then the children learn. They have the benefit of that. They are blessed after him. So one of the reasons you ought to have integrity, whether you're a parent or not, is because of the example to other people. Flip it. What gives Christianity a black eye? People who are Christians who have flies. Right? And so the person may be a believer and have done some good things, but if they see the flies, that's what they're going to pick out, the flies, right? So this is really important, that we have integrity so that we can have and be an example to other people. Ted Engstrom wrote a book entitled Integrity. And in it, he told the story of a high school coach in Georgia. It was a basketball coach. They had a winning season. They won 21 out of, and lost 5. Out of 26 games, they won 21. They made it to the finals. And in a dramatic come-from-behind game, they won the finals. And they won the state championship. It was then that they discovered that a player who was scholastically ineligible had played 45 seconds in the first of the school's 5 postseason games. The coach said, "We didn't know at the time that was the case." But then after they won the state championship, he found out. Now the question is, what are you going to do? That means you were playing illegally. So he says, some people said we should just keep quiet about it. It was just 45 seconds. And the player wasn't an impact player. So you got to do that just to keep the trophy. But the coach said, no, you have to do what is right. And the basketball team in Rockdale County, Georgia, gave the trophy up. Now you might think, wow, for 45 seconds in a basketball game, that's nothing. But I read that story and thought, what an example to the basketball players. You think that for the rest of their lives, they would have remembered that incident, especially if they were on the team that won. But that's the point. You need to be an example. You need to have integrity. regardless of the consequences. You live by principle, not expediency. Boy, is that a message that's needed today or what? Good night. All right. I said I was going to talk about three things. I was going to define integrity, and basically it's just having character. It's walking uprightly, to use that expression. And then give you the benefits. We've done that. The benefits are you're protected, and you get it actually provides guidance and wisdom and makes you an example. All of that's wonderful. But the book of Proverbs puts its finger on something else pertaining to integrity, and that is what I'm going to call the value of integrity. I mean, some of the stories I've told sound like you're not sure you want to do that. Would you want to, you know, give up that? Remember that golf story I told? The purse was $108,000. That's what was at risk when he made that putt. Are you sure you want to do that for 45 seconds? I mean, is it that important to be a person of integrity? Come on. I mean, look what you could lose just for some minor little things. Is integrity that important? Well, let me tell you what the book of Proverbs says. Turn to Proverbs 19:1. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. God says you are better off with integrity and being poor than being rich, implied, and speaking like a fool. So the poor who are honest are better off than the rich who are dishonest and distort the truth. Or simply put, integrity is better than riches. I've been told that Woodrow Wilson said this, but whether it was him or someone else, it makes a valid point. If you lose your wealth, you have lost nothing. If you lose your health, you have lost something. If you lose your character, you've lost everything. All of which is to say, your character is more important than your pocketbook or bank account. There's another proverb that says something similar. It's 28 verse 6. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Now, the first part of this proverb is an exact quote of the last one we looked at in chapter 19, verse 1. The second half of the proverb in this case is different. In 19:1, it talked about being perverse in your lips. In 28:6, it's talking about being perverse in your life. But it's all the same thing because they both talk about it's better to be poor and have integrity and honesty than to be rich and have wickedness. So which would you rather have? Would you rather win the lottery or have integrity? Say, that's not a fair choice. No, that's life. That's what that is. That's life. Booker T. Washington describes a meeting he had with an ex-slave in Virginia. In his book, Up From Slavery, he wrote, and I quote, "I found that this man had made a contract with his master 2 or 3 years previous to the Emancipation Proclamation, to the effect that the slave was permitted to buy himself by paying so much per year, and while he was paying for himself, he was permitted to labor where and for whom he pleased. Finding that he could serve secure better wages in Ohio, he went there. Then the freedom came. He was still in debt to the master, $300. Now, let me explain something. In the 19th century, somewhere around the Civil War, in this case, several years afterward, that was a lot of money. Now, I don't know what the relationship to that to today is. I do know this, that in 1939, the average annual income in the United States was $1,500. So you can believe that $300 was a lot of money. By the way, the average income in 1970 was $10,000. And today, what is it? I don't know, $50,000 or something? It's huge. So $300 was a lot of money. So Booker T. Washington goes on to say, notwithstanding the Emancipation Proclamation that freed him from any obligation to his master, this black man walked the greater portion of the distance back to where his old master lived in Virginia and placed the last dollar with interest in his hand. And then he says, in talking with me about this, the man told me that he knew that he didn't have to pay the debt, but he said he had given his word to his master and his word had never been broken. He felt that he would not enjoy his freedom until he had fulfilled his promise. Wow. His integrity was more important to him, more valuable to him than money. $300. All right. Matter of fact, somebody with an iPhone in the congregation has just looked up what $300 would be worth today and text me the answer. Somewhere between $6,000 and $7,500. So let's say $7,000. So he walked from Ohio most of the way back to Virginia to give him $7,000 plus interest because he said, I gave him my word. And that's the marvel of technology. All right, another proverb says something similar. This one you've heard, 22:1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold. Silver and gold. Now, the word integrity isn't in here, but clearly that's what it's talking about. A good name means you have integrity. Character in this case is the root, and a good name is the fruit. The proverb is saying a good name, a good reputation, having integrity, this is having wisdom and generosity, is better than great riches. And notice what it says, a good name, that means it involves other people. So the second part of the proverb says favor. So if you're a person of integrity, you have a good name, which means you have good favor with other people, and that's more valuable than great riches, which in the ancient world was measured by silver and gold, and that's what he says. It's better than, rather than, gold and silver. Wow. Let me put it like this. If you had to choose between godly character and a good reputation versus great riches, it would be better to choose the former. It is better to have good character that produces a good reputation and the affectionate favor of friends than to have great riches in silver and gold. Which brings me back to, would you choose winning the lottery or having integrity and a good name and favor of people. Boy, does that put it in prospect or what? We've all heard of the now famous flight to Paris by Colonel Charles Lindbergh. It is said, he said, he would not sell his name for the movie or any other projects if he made this trip. When he returned, he had offers a gore for making money. William R. Hearst thought that he could get him to lend his name to a story of his life and that would inspire the youth of America. Hearst's motives may not have been pure, but Lindbergh had given his word. When Hearst offered him a check for $500,000, that's $500,000, and that was a long time ago. I don't know the date, or somebody would figure that one out for me. At any rate, he refused the check. Surprised, Hearst handed the famous flyer the check, asking him to destroy it. Hearst thought that he would weaken and cash it. Lindbergh took the check, tore it up, and put it in the fireplace. He chose character over cash. So the point of these verses is that value, the value of integrity is greater than riches. All right. I'm basically done. Have we got it? The sermon's not done. The exposition of Proverbs is done. I got more to say, but I want to just rehearse and review what I just said. Integrity has benefits. You got them? You're protected. You don't have to worry about being caught. You get guidance and wisdom, and you become an example. That character is more valuable than great riches. All right? To put it in perspective, the technology sitting in the congregation has notified me that $500,000 from Lindbergh's day is worth $7.3 million today. Now, if you gave your word about something and you had the chance to get $7.3 million to renege, would you choose your word or the $7.3 million? Wow. Integrity says, I'll take my integrity. I'm not going to sell it for cash. All right. I said I'm not done. I want to, having expounded what the book of Proverbs says, I want to conclude by making a point or two and telling you a couple of stories. Chuck Swindoll has written a book called Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. And in it, he said this, and I quote, "The world needs men who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who possess opinions and a will, who are larger than their vocation, who do not hesitate to take chances, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be as honest in the small things as in the great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confirmed in their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everyone else does it, who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well as prosperity, who do not believe that shrewdness, cunning, and hard-headedness are the best qualities for winning success, who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth when it is unpopular, who can say no with enthusiasm, although the rest of the world says yes." That's integrity. Now, I've explained why you should do it, the benefits and the value. But I want to go beyond the book of Proverbs. I want to make another point, and I want to tell a couple of stories to make it. The first story is about a fella who saw a picture in the New York Herald Tribune Sunday magazine. It was a picture of the Statue of Liberty taken from a helicopter. And what the fella in the helicopter saw was this. The sculptor had done a painstaking job on Lady Liberty's head, the top of her head. And the article said, and yet he must have been pretty sure that the only eyes that would ever see the detail work he put into that would be the uncritical eye of a seagull. He would not have dreamt that a man would fly over the head. He was artist enough, however, to finish off that part of the statue with as much care as he had devoted to her face and arms and the touch and everything that people could see from the ground. When he was creating the work of art or any other kind of work, he finished the job perfectly. And then the article said this: you never know when a helicopter or some other instrument not at the moment invented. Does that speak to today or what? We got more than helicopters tracking us today. May come along and find you out. You never know when there's a helicopter flying over you, looking down at you. Now, with that in mind, let me tell you one more story, and the principle and the point will emerge from it. There was once upon a time, a long time ago in China, a politician who was known for his upright character. He eventually became a provincial governor, and a friend came to see him. The friend offered him a large gold cup and presented it to him, and he refused to take it. The friend was a bit surprised and said to him, "No one here tonight but you and me will ever know." To which this Chinese leader said, "You say that no one will know, but that is not true. Heaven will know, and you and I will know too." He subsequently became a high-ranking official in the central government of China. The reason I told that story is helicopters know. From above, heaven knows. And that's the reason we ought to live with no flies on us. Father, thank you for the insight that you give us into life in the book of Proverbs. But Lord, we all confess that there have been times we've compromised our integrity. We learn sometimes from bitter experience what that involves. So Father, may the Spirit of God impress upon us the need to walk integrity, because you are watching and you place a great value on integrity. In Jesus' name, amen.